Everybody knows what that rooster call's all about. It's the wake-up call for the outdoor hour of Rosie on the House. A great big good morning to you all. And boy, if you've missed the first hour of Rosie on the House, I would encourage you to reach into our website, rosieonthehouse.com, and grab that podcast. We talked about everything from the Sanagua Native American people of Montezuma's Castle to General George Crook Trail to the fireball that fell out of the sky to attacks by bears and javelinas, which we're going to be talking a little bit more about here in this hour.
But first we have Jay Harper of Harper's Nursery joining us in studio. We're broadcasting live from the Verde Valley Business Expo in Cottonwood, Arizona. Jay's at the KTAR headquarters taking, and we have Stephanie call screening
at
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to talk.
Stephanie the Sun Devil on phones. Mike the Mighty Mighty Jackrabbit on the board operating. Harper, also a Sun Devil, I believe.
Yep.
And then I'm a proud, proud near graduate of Chaparral High
School. Near graduate. What are those, the Firebirds?
Yes, yes.
Good morning, Jay. Good. We can hardly hear you, though. Hang on. One more. All right. Where are we starting in the landscape this morning?
Well, it's hot.
We didn't get a
gradual warm up, did we? Which is okay. That means that we just stayed very beautiful and nice through May. We got all the way through Memorial Day without being too terribly warm. But when it decided to get down to business, it did it, and it got hot. Which means that most people, perhaps I shouldn't say most, but a lot of people probably have not adjusted sprinkler irrigation systems, checked irrigation systems. And here's kind of my measuring stick is you can ramp up your sprinkler or irrigation system for summer, but when it gets over 110, it's not summer anymore. It's kind of like hell. So it's kind of like another level you have to go to even beyond summer. So I would encourage.
Is there a hell setting on my rain dial?
No, there's not. So you have to. My suggestion for most folks is actually just go out and manually cycle the system a time or two until this moderates back to, you know, more normal summer type weather. But once we get over 110, it's kind of like your summer schedule isn't even scheduled for that. Generally the nights don't cool down as much and you don't get that recovery, so the plants just can't catch up. So you definitely need to pay attention to that. The good news is anybody that was an allergy sufferer, this will take care of that.
Burn them off.
So really we want to concentrate right now on what can we do to help plants get through extreme stress caused by the heat. Obviously your watering schedule, making sure you're watering enough. I love the landscape water by the numbers book that our friends at the Arizona Municipal Water Users Association puts out. You can get it online. If you go to wateruseitwisely.com, it'll help you figure out, based on the size of your plant, tree, or shrub, how much water it needs and how often it needs it. So it really helps you figure out how to water correctly and properly. Get one of those copies at the nurseries. They're free. Go online, get it. It's a lot more effective than calling up the nursery guy on the phone saying, how much water does my plant that you may not even know what kind of plant it is needs? It takes a long time to walk somebody through that on the phone. It's a lot easier just to look at it in a book and go, okay, I need that many gallons. That means I need to run it that long, and I need to do it that often based on those temperatures. So very effective tool. Everybody should go get one. No matter where you live in the state of Arizona, you ought to have one of those handy. So watering.
And you can get them, those pamphlet books, digitally off their website. You can get it right onto your smartphone. I like the paper copy. I think it's a lot easier.
They also make a little card, a little plastic card that comes inside the booklet that you can put in the front door of your sprinkler irrigation controller. So when you open it up, boom, it's right there. You can refer to it. That's a neat deal as well. Obviously, the second part of that is the water going where it should be? You know, do you have sprinkler heads or drip emitters that are squirting water somewhere else or plugged up or not working at all. So that's the other thing. And that just takes, you know, most of our irrigation systems run at 4 in the morning or, you know, while we're asleep. We don't ever even see them working. We need to go out there, and it really helps if you've got somebody with you that can turn the controller on. You look at that system, that section, that valve, and see where the water's going. Is it working properly? So that's the second part of it. Watering enough, watering frequently enough, making sure the water goes where it should be going, and we're not wasting water or we're not even getting water in the right place. Then we need to talk about things like mulching, putting, even if it's temporary, some type of mulch, compost, bark, organic material several inches deep around the base of plants that may not be quite as drought tolerant or as heat tolerant as some of our native type plants are. So a peach tree, you know, a rose bush, a vegetable garden, a flower garden, a good layer of organic compost on those will really make a huge difference in how well they withstand, how long they stay moist, how cool the soil stays, that sort of thing. I felt like I was cutting somebody off there.
No, not at all, John. It's live radio when we're separated by 100 miles. That's all.
Okay.
But, you know, it's the irony. I was doing a little bit of study of this area, the Verde Valley, and there was an article published in the Arizona Republic not too long ago. I want to say within the last 2 weeks, that talks about water. And, of course, we are possibly looking at going to Tier 1 rationing in 1917. Depending on what happens, of course, we've been saved by Miracle Maize.
You mean 2017?
2017, yes.
Okay.
I did mean that. You're exactly right. I meant that. And the Verde River goes down by water experts as the hardest working river per mile per gallon of any river in Western United States.
Hmm. And what does that mean?
Just how often the water is reused, recycled,
how
diverse the utilization of all of it is. It was a really very interesting article. The little old Verde River right here. And Romy, you floated it a couple times, right?
Kayaked. Technically. I wouldn't float it. That would take forever. Paddling, it still took 3 days to get from Camp Verde to Horseshoe Lake. I wouldn't float it. You could if you just did it through Camp Verde. You can drop in right at the bridge off of General Cook Trail. If you take a vehicle and you put it down at the Rapids Takeout, there's a parking area there, and then you have another vehicle that takes you back and drops you off there. That would take a day to float. It took about 4 hours to paddle.
Some pretty little estates in there back on the water,
you know,
huh?
There are some incredible properties that back up to the Verde River.
John Jay, what would your yard look like if you had the Verde River flowing through it?
Oh, it'd be green. I'd have lots. I'd have lots of fruit trees, because that is an amazing elevation climate to grow all kinds of peaches and apricots and plums and a big garden. And yeah,
there's a lot of pecans too.
Okay, yeah, nut trees. That good deep soil and lots of water. It would lend itself to doing that, wouldn't it? You know, the other thing that we talk about mulching, and you guys were talking about riding out in the desert and bees and all that kind of thing. You know, if you go by a desert tree, you'll notice that it, number one, they're kind of like big bushes. They've shaded themselves by growing down to the ground. But, you know, if you climb under there, there's a layer of, you know, years and years of leaves and bean pods and all that material that's fallen off of that tree. You know, is trapped by that canopy of that tree as mulch under the base of those trees, so they can withstand long, long, long periods of drought because they've shaded themselves. They've also, you know, caused that mulch to sit there, which insulates the roots, keeps the moisture that is there from drying out. The other thing is, don't over prune, and maybe even let your lawn grow a little bit longer. Don't mow it quite so short. A little bit longer growing lawn, you know, will, again, shade, acts like a shade structure.
Jay, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm one of those terrible people who likes to rake up under my mesquite trees, and I missed it this year. We were just too busy. I didn't get anything raked. So I was I had even missed a lot of the beans, ended up just laying there for the year. And I'm really surprised how much they've broken down. I mean, I went out there thinking I'd have a big mess to clean up, and it just keeps breaking down. Do I need to – well, I think – is it going to – all those little beans going to sprout, or they just decompose?
Oh, most of them won't sprout. You know, mesquite beans are pretty hard. You know, it takes a little bit to get them to sprout. Palo Verdes, a little bit different. They tend to be a little easier, and you'll see more Palo Verdes sprouting than you will mesquite shoots coming up. But I'm a big advocate of leaving all that stuff. If anybody's seen my backyard, I've got eucalyptus and bamboo and citrus and all that stuff. If I tried to keep it raked up and clean, I'd be filling up a dumpster every day just about. So.
Well, I think you're winning me over. I think I'm going to leave it.
I'd leave it, and I also like the way it looks. I mean, I like the look of bark or shredded pine needles or leaves as a mulch underneath of the canopy of trees. So, and it's also going to help, you know, that tree withstand periods of drought better, and you won't have to water it as much.
Here broadcasting live from the Verde Valley Business Expo at the Verde Valley Fairgrounds. We're located at 800 East Cherry Street. If you're in the area, come on up and introduce yourself to us, and we'd love to meet you, the regular listeners. We'll be talking a little bit later about self-defense from bees and ants and bears and javelinas. What you should do when encountering these wildlife specimens out in the wild where you're not 2 minutes away from a 911 call response. You're out there kind of on your own.
You must live in an area where you get a two-minute response time.
Well, fortunately, I've never had to find out.
That's a pretty impressive response time even still. That's, man. And you can call in if you've got questions. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And you can also text in your questions to 411-923. Our texting is working this weekend. And as we talked about with the water and the heat, you know, Jay had mentioned that kills off allergies. Unfortunately, it doesn't kill off the bugs. And they're going to come looking every place that you're applying water. And if those are on your fruits and vegetables that you may still have, if you've got some okra still or you've got some melon still, and you're trying to keep the bugs from eating them up with an organic solution, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew by Bonide is what we use on our edibles, because it's a all organic that you can spray right on top of it, and you can eat vegetables that same day. It's just a oil that they found from old rum buckets in the Caribbean, so it's a completely natural product. It's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew by Bonide. Their Bonide products are family made in America. Just look for the purple label.